I went camping about 3 weekends ago in the Huntsville National Forest in Texas. Me and 3 friends that came home for the weekend, they're all in college, and usually we all get together at least once a year. They're old friends from high school. For the camping trip, we plan to go backpacking deep in the forest, live off of fish that we catch and animals that we can trap. We've been doing this for a while in Texas and numerous places, Arizona, Colorado, if anyone's familiar with the Spanish Peaks there, New Mexico. So, we're pretty much used to anything you'd encounter out there. It was my turn to pick where we went camping, so I chose Huntsville. More accurately, it's Huntsville, New Waverly. So, we drive up there, park our car in a camping park spot, and start walking off into the forest. We had some laughs along the way, everyone catching up with each other's lives. We walked until it started to get dark and set up camp where we stopped. Everyone gathered wood to make a fire, and we set our tent up. And then we do what we always do, try and scare each other with weird stories. Around this time, we started to smell something very faint. It was noticeable, but not overbearing. We couldn't put our finger on what it was, so we just carried on. Mike had to go piss, and he walked off in the forest. A second later, he comes running back, piss all down his jeans like he'd missed really bad. Immediately, we all crack up and throw some jokes at him. Then we notice that he was white as snow, and trying to catch his breath. He starts screaming for us to follow him and runs off. We all get serious and go follow him, not knowing what the problem was. We start to hear a faint scream and crying in the distance, in the direction we're running. It was pitch black away from the camp, and Mike had the only flashlight. We had left ours at camp. He had his from his trip taking a piss. So at this stage, we didn't have much choice but to follow the light, which was frantically pointing here and there in front of him. The screams get closer, Mike starts to slow down. We then notice a ratty old cabin that looked like it was abandoned except for a faint light that we could see from one of the old mildew-covered windows. The crying was intense. Whoever it was couldn't breathe enough to let out a full yell. We all followed Mike up to the front door, and we could all hear the crying from inside. As soon as he knocked on the door, it stopped. We all waited and heard really heavy footsteps walking to the door. There was a giant slam against the door and the sound of a bolt unlocking. Then nothing. We waited for a bit, knocked a few more times, but still nothing happened. We walked around the house, but there was no fucking way any of us were leaving each other's side. And we noticed a window, which was a good way up. Alex took a deep breath and asked us to give him a boost so he could see inside. Me and Mike lifted him up to the window. We watched him brush away dirt and webs and place his face close to the window to try and see something. There was a quick beep. Then suddenly, he breathed in fast and let out a loud scream. He fell back from the window, screaming bloody murder the whole way. We all tried to calm him down, but he was hysterical. We went to him, but he started to shake, punch, kick, you name it, and then took off towards the camp. None of us wanted to be separated, so we all ran close behind him. We caught up to him and grabbed him and set him down. The fire was dying out, so I grabbed some nearby wood that we had collected and added it to the fire. My hands were shaking, and I had to do something. I went back to Alex, and we all tried to calm him down. He wouldn't. He just kept screaming and breathing so hard that he eventually fainted. All of us were terrified, and we all kept the fire high until sunrise. Periodically, Alex kept waking up, screaming just like before. By sunrise, he was up and looked catatonic, just mumbling to himself and whimpering. Mike and I decided to go look at the cabin now that it was daylight. We searched where we thought it was, except there was nothing there. Nothing at all. The indistinct smell from last night had now grown into a very strong smell of something dead. Something stale. We headed back to the camping site. When we got there, we found Alex had chewed into the sides of his face and swallowed so much blood that he was throwing up. John was at his back, and he looked like he was about to die from exhaustion. I guess we all looked that way. I just didn't notice until I saw his face. Alex said quietly that we need to leave. Now. We all started to pack up the tent. It began to rain really heavily. It was about noon at this time, and the sky started to get really dark. Alex started to go into a panic. He went and grabbed a big stick and yelled at us to leave it, and leave now or he'd knock us out and drag us out of there himself. Mike started to yell at him, and then they started to fight. We broke it up and finished packing, then started making our way back. After a little while, we arrived at a creek we'd crossed the previous day, only it was flooded over and the water was moving too fast for us to cross it. Alex started to scream again, yelling at Mike for taking his time packing up the tent when we could have just gotten out of here. This went on for a little while until we finally convinced Alex to calm down and tell us what happened. He said as soon as he put his face to the glass, a face on the other side did the same thing, and it started to smile really big. It had dark eyes and a dark mouth, which was much bigger than Alex's, and the smile had gotten as large as it could. A giant shadow behind it swung something down and sliced its face off. The face was stuck to the window, and he said it started to laugh quietly as it slid down. Mike, still pissed, and though he wouldn't admit it, beginning to freak out, started to argue with him again. We eventually started to follow the creek for a way across. We then started to see toys floating in the creek. Really old toys, old Barbie dolls and baby dolls. This wasn't like any old trash floating in the creek, though. This was a lot of Barbies, a lot of baby dolls. One washed towards the side, and Mike picked it up. It had some kind of voice chip that was dying, and it started to say some gurgling words we couldn't understand, followed by its sad excuse for laughter. Then it sounded like it was whispering. We thought the batteries must be dying. He threw it down. We kept going, and the sun was starting to set. Alex was freaking out more now. He was whimpering and breathing heavily. We all started to see shadows move behind the trees, something we all called BS on until we were all seeing it. It was barely light out, and we stop as we see a cabin right in front of us. None of us knew what to think. Mike says,
"This is bull. I'm going in there."
Alex tries to stop him. We all do. All of us just want to go home. Mike says to all of us,
"Fuck off. Go do your own thing. I don't care anymore. This is all bullshit anyway."
We started to hear hundreds of the same sort of baby doll as before, laughing, whispering, trying to sing. We start to move forward past the cabin, all of us, and kept pushing forward. We smelled something dead in the air, something stale. The same something as before. We started to hear something crying and something screaming. We kept on going. We crossed the creek and left the woods. We get back to our vehicle, and we got in. It's pitch black, and we just drive. We're about to get on the 45 to Houston, but the road is under construction and can't be accessed. It points to a detour, and as we head towards the detour, it seems to be a really small, bumpy dirt road going into the woods. Then we saw a young girl come up to us. She looked like she was in trouble, young, pretty. She approached the passenger side door, and she looked like she's really drugged up or beaten up. Alex doesn't roll down the windows, nor does he open the door. She reaches for the handle, and he immediately locks it. She puts her face on the window and starts to smile really big. We floor it. Alex starts to cry and scream, and we're all breathing heavy. We finally cut on a street that takes us to the 45, and we take it the whole way. When we get back to my apartment, nobody knows what to say, and we all break apart and go our separate ways. Mike messaged me later and said that he's going to go back. I try to convince him not to, and all he does is say it was our own minds that were screwing with us. I think he just went to prove to himself that he wasn't scared. I can smell that stench everywhere. Now, I don't go out anymore. I just stay in and don't answer the door. Last week, everyone I met was acting really strange. People that I knew for a long time and total strangers. My own dad. When I went to his place to eat supper with him, he just watched me strangely when I was sitting down. He didn't say a word the whole time. I kept asking him what's wrong, but he just slowly shook his head. When I was leaving to go home, I turned to wave. His eyes had turned black and his mouth was open like he was in pain. When I started to walk back, he shut the door and bolted it. I stayed there knocking and knocking. Nothing. I called him and his phone was disconnected. I even called the police. Halfway through the questions they were asking me, the connection started to fade into static. I could hear a faint mumbling, singing, laughing. Mike has completely vanished. There's not even a record of him being alive. When I called Alex's house, they talked to me like I'm some salesman. They say they don't know any Alex and to please stop calling. The person who tells me that is Alex's mother. I can't get a hold of John. Someone knocked on my door, and when I went to look, I saw a face completely covering the peephole and a giant smile started to form. I called the cops again, and instead of it turning into static, they got really strange.
Sir, are you affected by any drugs at the moment?
No.
Are you coming home anytime soon?
Excuse me?
Come home.
And the phone call ended. My mail slot swings every now and then. Someone is sliding pieces of baby dolls through it. I try to call people now, and all I can hear is static and bad baby doll noises and this crying and screaming. My TV is busted, but when I go to piss, I can hear it on. I think I might be going insane. Whoever lives above me started to scream in pain and crying deeply recently. I hear giant footsteps from your apartment. I hear bangs and something falling to the ground. From the neighbors to the right of my apartment, I hear what sounds like a baby that never gets tended to. And then it sounds like a baby doll whose batteries are dying. My phone has been ringing now, and it's Alex telling me things in a language that I've never heard before, nor could even manage to repeat. I keep getting emails, pictures of black and small colorations. Now I can't even access my email. Someone knocks on the door, then they slam against it. I can hear the bolts unlocking one by one, and I run to make sure to lock all of them back. And I sit down. I begin to cry.